So I've really just felt like the Lord was saying to us as a people that sometimes we find ourselves and we go and we do the same thing over and over and we feel like, oh, I'm doing this in faith, but it's just not. And I felt like the Lord is saying to us this morning, this is a time where we put the stake in the ground and say no more of trying, but actually letting go so that God can do something with it and letting him fill us with faith to see the future in a more clearer. Because when we do it in ourselves, I think we sometimes not sure. And I feel like the Lord is just saying, put your stake in. Allow me to do what I need to do. Put your trust in me, and I will fill you with faith, and we will see the journey through. So whatever it is this morning that you feel like you can't anymore, I'm really encouraging you to just put the stake down. Surrender. In Jesus' name.
Very good. Preach it. Come on, let's take up an offering off of that. Cindy, come quickly. You just had a great... And just put these in the back of your mind. Ponder on them as we go through the service, what God wants to say and do through us.
This afternoon.
I just had this picture of the throne of God. And from the throne of God, there were fireballs flying out from the throne. And it was hitting people in the congregation as we were praising. And it was reminded of when God took the coal from the altar and touched Isaiah's lips and purified. And I just felt like God was saying that as we praise, there's going to be a move of God and he's going to purify people. He's going to be touching people's lives. And I just think be open to what he's going to do to you tonight.
Awesome. Get ready for tonight. Frother, I want you up here quickly. This is Frother. She's going to pray for us. Where's Frother number two? Come on. Got two frothers, they're going to pray for us, but let's stand tonight. And as we pray, open up your heart, open up your mind. You can even pray out with us. But as they pray, just have an expectancy of faith that God's going to do something radical in your life. You didn't come to spectate tonight, we're going to trust God. You start with us, Tam.
Lord, thank you just for bringing us together again as a congregation, Lord. And I just pray that we will worship you with our everything today, Lord, and just worship you in spirit. And just we are so grateful to be here and to be together after everything we've been through the last 6 months. And just thank you, Lord, for carrying us through through this time and through COVID. And you are always there for us, Lord. And just thank you for the love that you shower over us, Jesus.
Lord, I just want to pray for this evening that you would come and you would ignite our hearts, Lord God, and set a desire in our hearts to seek you deeper and deeper, that Lord God, we'll reach heights and we'll reach depths that we've never reached before tonight in your spirit, Lord God. And Holy Spirit, come wash over every heart here, Lord God, that they would run after you like they never have before. And I'm so excited to see what you're going to do in us tonight, Lord God.
So God, come have your way with us, Lord. We commit our time to you, our lives. Come do what you want to do, Lord. Do what you do best in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated. Leanne, where are you? Leanne Bass. So Barry, give us a rundown for kids.
Cool. Just quickly wanted to let you guys know for Kids Church today, the preschoolers, I think that's up to the age of 3, 4, 6 or something, they are upstairs in the fishbowl, and then all the grades are downstairs in the coffee shop area. So again, make sure your kids are signed in. We still have to sign in your kids. Make sure that you've signed them in, and then also sign them out directly after the service. Cool. Okay, well, there's some more announcements, but that will come later. But just for today, that's the plan. Okay? One last thing. Sorry. The kids can stay in here for worship. So after worship, there'll be a sign and things, but they're going to worship with us. Okay, cool.
Awesome. Great to have the kids with us. Tonight. Is it night time? It's still light outside, so it's good. I want to pick on somebody real quickly. I didn't prepare you, but Josh, come here real quickly. We haven't been together for so long. And Josh has been preparing this song and dance for us for the last few weeks. No, just joking. Just kidding. I want to ask quickly what happened with youth in the last few weeks, but youth has been booming and blasting. But what happened last night? Was there something different? Anything good? What God's doing in the youth?
Oh, the worm thing. Oh, okay. So last night, guys, I think even you guys would have enjoyed this game. So pretty much, right? We took some worms, and they weren't some sour worms. They were mealworms. I think that's what you call them, or whatever. They were living worms. Yeah. Yeah. Pardon? Bumpani worms. Okay. I think you get the gist of it. But so pretty much, right? We had those worms and we laid them out on a table. And yeah, it is gross. So we went and we made the strongest guys, and luckily I didn't put up my hand. So like, just a tip for any of you guys, when they ask for the strongest guys, don't put up your hand, because then it's always something gross. So what happened was, we put all the worms on the table, and the first person to chow two worms, living worms, what? Bumpani worms. first to chow two worms without the hands wins a huge thing of Toblerone. So, no, I didn't do it. Mom, I didn't do it. So pretty much, yeah, so Ethan Cross won. I don't know if he's here. But special mention to Grant. He came and something, just the youth's energy just washed him and he just went for it. And he chowed two worms too. So well done, Grant. Yeah. But otherwise, youth was good. Yeah.
Otherwise, youth was good. So bring your youth. Amazing things happening. God's moving amongst the youth, eating worms. Our fearless leader just setting the pace, showing, leading by example. So great to be serving under Grant here as a team. Huh? And they bite. They do bite. So well done, Grant. How's it feeling this evening? Okay. So we've got a fearless leader. And yeah, we're thankful for what God's doing, just having Grant lead us and Lorna and their family just, again, just taking this baton by the hand and running with us. And we've got a great team around them. We've got deacons and elders that will be running together with this amazing family. So we're excited what God's going to be doing during this season, moving us into the more. But Grant, you're on tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, set your dials, okay? Because Josh Jane Live, whatever, Facebook, all the rest of it, this man is on. Give us a quick rundown. What's going to be? I'm going to put you on the spot quick.
Honestly, guys, it is like, you know, when you do something, you go afterwards, oh my goodness, they mustn't post that thing. It wasn't very good. And Kim Miller's got a gift of encouragement. So I asked him, Kim, like, seriously, like, what do you think? Should we redo it? He said, no, it is great. And I'm going, oh my. Like, is he lying? Or is that like. So I'm on tomorrow at 9 o'clock. I'm speaking about the deceitfulness of wealth. I try to bring an edge to it, where how do we work with money in such a way that doesn't bring you down. And so if you want to listen to it, it's great, 9 o'clock. Please don't encourage me. but anyway, so yeah.
Grant's learning that he's not actually that funny. I'll tell you why. He's got a bunch of, he's part of this group of unsaved surfers. And he's part of the WhatsApp group. And they blatantly tell him, Grant, you're just not funny. So for once, someone's actually being honest to him. So do encourage him where you can. He does need it. But he's got guys that are very accountable to him right now that are unsaved, telling him the truth, which is great for once. But really cool. But yeah, why don't we just check out the forecast? I think I got a forecast video for us. Let's see what's happening in the world around Josh Jane.
Hey, so we've got some very, very exciting news. This year, our Fall Talk conference can't happen in the flesh, but we can meet in spirit. On Saturday, the 10th of October, between 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock South Africa time, we're going to be gathering with churches from across the world for an online conference. Really want to encourage you to diarize it as apostolic voices will speak into us. And there's a sense of worshiping together and connecting with our brothers and sisters from all over the world. This is a must join event.
Hi folks, my name is Macadamy. We'll be presenting a divorce recovery course starting the 6th of October, and it's for divorcees and the children affected by divorce. And we'll be discussing topics such as emotional hurt, trauma, shock, the grief cycle, how to deal with new relationships. It will be presented online on Zoom.
Hey, it's Dave from Oxygen Life Church in Port Elizabeth. I'm one of the elders in our evening congregation, and I also oversee the youth leadership team. And we are super excited to be heading up to Cape Town on the 16th and 17th of October for the 4:12 Youth Leaders Equip Time happening there. We're so excited about what God is going to do. And youth leaders out there, we want to encourage you, come join in. And you can register on 412global.com, and we would love to see you there.
joshjen.co.za. Check out more what's happening there. So who's enjoying Saturdays at church? I mean, that's so different for us. Eh? All four of you. Cool. You can be here next week. Eh? Very cool. Man, my flesh was like, oh, this is like the best day. I want to go surf this evening. And like, but once I thought about it, I was like, man, what a privilege it is to be together. So for the next month, more or less, we're planning on being here on a Saturday. We have processed it. We prayed about it. And just felt just for a season to bring us all together as the full congregation to see what God's doing amongst us. It's nice just to see faces. I heard someone ask Ritzy this week, did you backslide or something? They haven't seen you forever. They're like, wow, so good to see you serving the Lord. So it's great to see people are still serving God and they're still around. So it is good to be together. So just for the next few weeks, bear with us, but just be ready for what God's doing. And next week's Saturday, we were planning at 4 o'clock, but the gathering will be at 2 o'clock. So we're going to meet here at 2 p.m. Okay, everybody say 2 p.m. because you're looking at me like, 2 p.m., okay? 1-2. Same place, same venue. So it won't be 4 o'clock. 2 o'clock we'll meet here, and we'll have a gathering set up, but it'll be next Saturday, same time, same place, okay? But 2 o'clock. Not same time. Same place, different time, 2 o'clock, okay? So be ready for that. And yeah, just really exciting for what God's doing. Okay. Man, talking about faith. I love faith. I think I'm a bit of a faith guy. I'm not this name it and claim it kind of guy. I mean, I love Ferraris. I love Porsches. I don't lay my hands on them and say, this is mine if I give or if I tithe, whatever it is. But there is a sense of I love seeing God move mountains, like we heard. Just when you put something, stake it in the ground, say, God, I don't want to be the same today as today and tomorrow. I want to be changing. I want to be moving with what you have for me. And, we're just seeing different breakouts, different pockets of faith being released amongst us. And I just want to share one or two, because we haven't seen each other for a while. And I just want to share one or two what God's been doing. So, Nate, I'm going to pick on my boy first. Nathan, come. What's God been doing, Nate?
So this all started, I think this is a right story, hopefully. We'll see halfway. This week, actually. I think it was last week, Wednesday. I decided to go up to the West Coast with one friend of mine for the first time without the supervision of my dad or mom or anyone. So it was pretty interesting, not going to lie. But while we were up there having a really great time and something really bad happened, I lost my phone while I was up there. I'm like, oh man, it's just like something that I really thought I wouldn't lose. Like we took care of it the whole entire time. And then as we were leaving, I was like, oh, I thought I put it on the tailgate of the bike. I'm like, oh man, so I'm really bummed. We looked for about an hour and a half. Couldn't find it, so we had to go home, which was a bit of a bummer. And also something that happened in my phone was my learner's license, which I wasn't too stoked on either that I'd lose that because I don't want to do that again. So we left it for about 3 days, and I was really worried, like, oh, it's going to turn up somewhere. It must be in my backpack or something. So my sister phoned us on Saturday morning. She's like, no, Nate, and I think she phoned my mom. Yeah, she's like, Mom, really, I had this dream that you guys went up to West Coast and you found the phone. So I was like, yo, that's pretty crazy. And Mom and my dad and myself were like, let's change plans, because I was about to go to Musenberg. I was literally like an hour away from leaving. I had to message Matt to like call Tane, but they were surfing. So no, but it was really cool. So I told them I couldn't make it. So ended up going with my mom and dad up West Coast. We're like, yo, like really full of faith, actually. So really cool. So we get up there and we just start praying a little bit. Lord, just fill us with faith that we can find this phone. So it was a really big beach. It's up there, so not a lot of people either. So we started looking around the car park, because that's where I thought I left it, somewhere close to the car. So looked for about 30 minutes there, half an hour. And then started going down the path. Like, my dad was phoning every 2 minutes as we were moving down. And as we got to the beach, we were really like, yo, this is a big beach. I don't know how big the beach is, like 10Ks of just sand. It's quite overwhelming when you're looking for something. So we're up there, and my dad's phoning all the time, and I'm digging my feet and my hands in the sand and can't find it all there. But then all of a sudden, we're standing on the beach and we hear one tone of this phone, and we're like, yes, man. It sounds almost so soft that it might be in your head. So we weren't sure if it was actually just our minds like really getting like optimistic and getting amped. But we called my mom, like, no, come on, we think we heard it. So she comes, and the very place I was looking, she comes and like sits down, puts her hand in the sand, then she takes the other hand, puts it straight in, pulls up my phone's like, here it is. I'm like, no way, just couldn't find it. So here it is today, completely fine. So yeah, God's good, eh? Just have faith in him, and he actually cares for the small things in our life as well. So really good.
Yeah, very good. Cares about the details. And so that's Nathan's 18th birthday present. It's not just a cheap phone. So he waited 18 years for that phone. So he almost got a couple slaps when he got home. I was very gracious. I was like, oh, man, I just don't have time. I don't have the extra right now to buy a new phone. It's like, are you back at the list right now? And we're just like, man. So 3 days later, and got to understand, it had been raining for 2 days up in Lambert's Bay. It had up to 300 millimeters of rain. It poured down, and it was almost flooding up in Lambert's Bay when we got there. And people are like, what are you doing up here? They're like, no, we're just looking for a phone. And they're like, okay, well, there's mud everywhere. And literally, this beach is just miles and miles. And we rang it once, and we heard a little beep, like you said. And Karen literally sat down in the middle of nowhere. She's like, oh, man. Stuck her hand in the sand like this, like about this deep. Got it! And it's like, man, Nathan attacked her. It was amazing. So you know what it is? God cares about the details in our lives. But we had to get out. We couldn't just sit back and say, oh, I wonder if someone's going to phone us. Maybe they'll bring the phone in. And sometimes that's going to happen where we are going to lose things. We lost Corinne's ring, her wedding ring, and we never found it. So sometimes we're not always going to find everything we lose. But there are times where God stirs. And actually that morning, Genevieve called from Richards Bay. She said, I had a dream last night that you guys found Nathan's phone. And right then, we were actually on our way to go look for the phone. So it just stirred us, our faith, even more. So sometimes we've got to step out of the boat and say, God, I don't understand why we're traveling 3 hours up to Lambert's Bay to look for something that has been looked for a long time already. But when you get there, once you activate it, and then you see a mile of beach, as you take one step to the next, your faith actually declines more and more. But faith is believing in things that are unseen yet hoped for. And each step that we take, God, we're trusting that we're going to find it. Don't know how it's going to work. And then one little ring, just a little sound. It was 10-foot swells, was really noisy. And the tide had washed up right to the top of the beach. So everything could have gone wrong. But just that fact of putting the hand into the sand and pulling out a phone just shows that God cares about the details in our lives. So walk by faith, not by sight, and just watch what God does. So just a little testimony of what God did in our family. Very encouraging for Nathan as a young boy to see that God is real. Really cool. Nikki, Brian Stumpf, Faith Man, where are you? Here we go. Come next.
Hello, everybody. So we also went searching, but it wasn't for phones. It was for souls. And we had an incredible time last week, Saturday. I set up a time where we're going to meet the Musenberg congregation. A couple of the guys in our community went to Musenberg in the morning, and we set aside time to go and seek and save the lost. And it was one of the most amazing times to work with a team of people. And when I first saw everybody, there was such fear on their faces. It reminded me of like the Colosseum when the Christians were going to be martyred with the animals. It was hectic. But as we stepped out in faith, it was amazing how God just used each and every single person there, and God did an incredible work. We saw three salvations that happened. I mean, the harvest was so ripe there, hey? It was like, I mean, I've been evangelizing for a long time, and I haven't often seen a lot of salvations as I go, but where there is unity, there is a blessing. And we went out as a team, united together, wanting to seek and save the lost. And as we stepped out in faith, the first person that I approached to, he gave his heart to the Lord right then and there. It was like the most amazing. I was like, are you sure you want to do this? He's like, he knew. And a quick testimony, there was a young Julian Goldswain's son who was next to him, and I went together, and he was like seeing this thing with his eyes, like seeing true salvation happening out there in the world. And as we left and walked away, he was like, tell me, you know, Nikki, I did not want to come to this thing. I actually fought with my parents because I was like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. And after that moment, when he saw that salvation, there was something that God did in his heart to want to go and reach more people. So I want to encourage you guys. We're going to do a lot of evangelism, and we want to seek and save the lost. And it's just as exciting as when you find that phone. You know, it's like, but it's like, wow, God did something incredible in our lives. So God is moving, and I want to encourage you guys to get in contact with me. I'm actually going out tomorrow, so I'm just going to do a shout out there. If anybody wants to come and join me tomorrow, you're more than welcome. I'll be around you.
Wonderful. Been good. Sweet. I think we've been here for about a year. I think we joined our family, the Baker family, we're in the City Bowl, and we came a year ago, and it's been a great journey with you. So in case you don't know who we are, my name's Grant, and my wife Lorna, she's getting some water for us, but it's been a great journey being part of Josh Jen and being in Melkbos, and then we have the privilege of leading you with the team. I spent some time with Andrew today. What a gift. It's very easy to see Andrew's out there-ness, and he doesn't make any effort to look good. Honestly, he doesn't. I'm a good friend of his in a good way. But what a beautiful, powerful man. And it's a privilege for me to say he's my captain. He's my captain, and I'm willing to serve you guys through him and with him, and if he says, hey, do this and do that, I'm willing to do that as well. Obviously, I have to trust the Lord for that. I mustn't just speak those things too carefully. Just edit that for me, please. But you're really just a joy to be here and to serve you guys. So, I wonder before I carry on, because we want to bring some, you know, clarity is a wonderful thing. Don't you agree? Ivan mentioned about next week, and it wasn't perfectly clear, even though he did a great job of leading us. We have a guy that's also part of the eldership team, David Brunt. I like to call him David. I think David's a real bridge builder. Most of our congregation's actually Afrikaans. Is that true? But we speak English. Anyone who has Afrikaans out there? And David's a perfect mix of like being like English, you know, David and Brunt, like on fire, Brunt, Afrikaans. I'm so thankful that he's with us because he loves you. And he's been here for a long time. How many years in this congregation, Dave? I want you to stand up with your wife and family. Come on, give it up for David Brunt. Come on, give it up. 13 years in Melkbos. My goodness. Dave, in a couple of weeks' time, they're going to give you a much louder applause than that. But why don't you come and clarify what's happening next week? Because I'm not sure myself.
Yeah, next week, we're creatures of habit. As you could have seen today, it's like we all, like, because we're Melkbos, we get together in the morning, right? So how many times have people said morning today? It's like just, and then we can't get it right. It's afternoon now. Tonight will be after 6. But just to clarify things for you a little bit, that's not the clarity I want to bring. You saw the clip of Andrew at the beginning of the little announcements that the office puts together. That's brilliantly done in short. But Andrew was saying something about 4:12 global gathering next Saturday at 2. And that's going to be streamed online, and we can all join together in the whole of not just Josh Jen, but 4:12 global, much bigger than us. We all can join together in that time. And actually, in the spirit, Andrew said, we can all be together. So I've got great news for us. We cannot only be in the spirit together with the rest of Global 4:12, but as a congregation, we've managed to secure this venue between 2 and 4, and we're going to stream that live on that canvas for us, and we can be together doing 4:12 Global next week. So next week, 2 o'clock, yeah, not 4 o'clock. That's the other thing is, we'll give you off after 4. Like, so we're not going to do 2 to 4 and then 4 to 6. And then, 4 to 6, you can go braai, like to a national braai day again. Is that clear?
That's great. Give him a hand. That's good. So we're streamlining. It's excellent. All right. Who wasn't here last Sunday? Just put up your hands. So a few people, actually quite a few. All right. So you're going to have to put your seatbelt on and just catch up. I've been thinking, I want to do a preach. Just want to bring us together, look at the word, consolidate, and encourage. So open your Bibles. I'm going to be looking at the book of Philippians. And before I go there, just to think of Ivan just leading again, someone who's been here for many years. Thank God for the Funfurian family. And that miracle. My goodness. That is a proper miracle. Like, that is encouraging. And it's our miracle. It's not just their miracle. It's our miracle. Just to see God work like that. And I would interpret it this way. It's our miracle to be encouraged, to praise God, to pursue faith, to look to God. And then it's young Nathan's miracle. He said that as one of his first ventures up the West Coast without dad. The West Coast is wild. It's like hundreds of Ks up there. And then he loses his phone and God comes through for him. I think it's a sign for you. As you're going to pioneer and as you're going to go, you're going to have the inheritance of your parents, but God's going to come through for you. It's a wonderful how God builds us and how he strengthens us. So, I mean, when I heard that, I went, wow, that's proper. No one finds a phone in the sand unless God gives them some insight. So that is a great miracle. Okay, you ready? Book of Philippians. I'm going to be reading. You can just open up. It's actually, these guys don't know about this verse. I'm actually looking at chapter 3, verse 17. But there's a little verse that caught my attention. And this is in chapter 1, verse 12. I'll read it to you. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened. Is it there? Yeah, what has happened? If you've been around for a while, things happen, don't they? Things happen. Things change. You can put it off. And we need to learn to respond. And I was wondering, well, we've had a massive shift. We've had, out of last week and out of the eldest time, there's been a lot of disclosure of areas of sin, and a number of different elders have stepped down, and for the sake of restoration, things happen. Life happens. And what I love is us thinking, what do we do? Where do we go from here? What do I say to the church? I was just wondering, what next? And then I was looking at chapter 3. You can go to chapter 3. Verse 17. It says, brothers, this is the ESV. I think that's the ESV. Brothers, join in imitating me. This is Paul speaking from prison, writing to the Philippian church. Join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. Incredible. The NIV says, brothers, join in following me. Is the NIV there? Yeah. Following my example. Take note of those that live according to the pattern we gave you. I find it encouraging how there's not only just an example in the church, but there's actually a pattern. There's a way of living that gets set into the church. I know when I was reading 1 Timothy 3:15, just out of my heart, it speaks about the conduct of God, or the way we are to conduct ourselves. It's interesting how there's a way of living established in the church. There's a pattern that gets established. There's a pathway. There are people that model for us. And yet Paul is saying, brothers, join me, follow me. It's similar to, it's almost like Jesus is in him, and we can see the light of the Lord, and the light of the Lord through the ages is saying, follow me. This is something about following that's ongoing for us. So, looking at Paul's life, if we meant to follow him, let's look at his example. Can I give you just three quick points? I want you to look at the scriptures. I'm going to be in line with the scriptures, but just three things that I see in the life of Paul. He was writing this letter from prison. Life had happened to him. The context of his life up to that time, if you look at the book of Acts, he was literally going from city to city. He's being persecuted, but they were shaking whole cities. Masses of Jews were being converted. The Gentiles were turning to Christ. And here he ends up in a place of limitation. He ends up in prison. And there's three things I see in Paul that I think we, as the church, can follow him in. The first thing is, he goes, out of this, what has happened to me, And he says, this has happened for the advancement of the gospel. He interprets life correctly. So the first thing is, Paul, when things happen, he teaches himself in the Lord, I must interpret this thing in such a way that's right and good. That's a very powerful thing. Secondly, we see a little pattern in his life. He, right the way through the book of Philippians, and you'll see it then, he mentions the word rejoice, being thankful. I think it's 20-something times. And he, not only does he interpret what has happened well, but he looks for things he can give thanks for. So he doesn't fix his eyes on all the people and all the cities that he sort of was meant to go to. He doesn't go, in disappointment. He begins to shift his perspective and begins to see what God is doing, and he begins to give thanks, begins to rejoice. He says, even in prison, I rejoice that Christ can be exalted in my body. So he embraces, you can put the scriptures off because I want to talk now. He embraces, from the scriptures, he embraces a discipline of thankfulness and a discipline of giving thanks. And it's amazing, when you are thankful, and it's not just a putting on, but you, before God, are offering thanks, what happens is your eyes shift to what God is doing. You're not captivated by what is not happening or what you think God should do. So there's a shift in you, and you're able to stay in the Spirit. And so right the way through this book, which is in prison, he's giving thanks. This is a great example. Number three, you ready for me? Number three, we see him, look at chapter one, I'll read it for you. We see him modeling loving the church. So firstly, he interprets life in such a way that's right and good. He gives thanks, he rejoices, he fixes his eyes on what God is doing. And then in number three, we see that he loves the church. He even in his own suffering, even his own crisis, is able to be aware of others. It's not just me, it's us. It's we. So look at the first chapter with me. So I'm reading from verse 3. I thank my God. So this is chapter 1 in Philippians, verse 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Now he's talking about the church. Always, listen to the language, in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayers with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace. You see the inclusive heart of Paul. It's amazing. People that are aware of others and actually want to contribute, they're much happier. I don't know if I can encourage you with this, but there's just something about being aware of others and wanting good for them that actually brings joy. It's a weird thing. When you look for happiness, you don't find it. But when you obey the Lord and you embrace what we see in the scripture, there's something of a joy and of a reward that's really good. So we see Paul modeling this. It's really good. I'm just thinking of the last week when we think of our beloved Hannes, who brought into the light some of his own wrestlings with sin. Do we see what he hasn't done, or can we fix our eyes on what he has done? Can we rejoice that he actually willingly, before God, with great consequence, brought into the light? Can you see a team that came around him and wanted to be restored? Or can you only see what you've lost and how disappointed you are and what you were expecting from him? Or can you interpret what's going on in such a way that serves the gospel? Can you be thankful? Can you have joy? Can you look at what happened last week and go, my goodness, this is a good church. God, I thank you. I worship you. I'm in. Can you have a different spirit? Can you be with us? Paul says, join with me. We need joiners, man. We need guys who are with us. Join, follow, advance. So I want to encourage you. I'm coming for a landing now. So I want your hearts. I'm landing this thing right now. Our comm leaders, we want your hearts. We want you to have the hearts of your people. We want you to join. I'm asking you to join us. Run. We are compelled to move forward. We are called to advance. If you're a comm leader, our team wants your heart. The elders want your heart. If you're a deacon, I want you to rediscover your why. I want you to see what we're speaking about. And I want your passion to be ignited. We need passion. We need people that can see the prize and move forward. If you feel like you're on the outskirts, what does it look like for your heart to join? Join with others as we follow your example. I'm constantly asking our youthies. I'm looking forward to this confession. We are prideful that we have so much fire. we don't want to be pushed. Like I want more of that spirit. Like I want them to be fully part of us, front row frothers. There's just something about a people being on the same page, understanding our why, knowing the pattern of God, and we're in. This is something very powerful about that. And what do we need in this next season? We need people that come closer. So I said I was going to land. Part of our following of example is possibly, but doing it with not going like this, but also moving forward, is bringing into the light what needs to be brought into the light. But in such a way, we move forward as a church. I listening to Andrew, hopefully I don't waffle now, but listening to Andrew, I realized this afternoon, that's what I love about Andrew, like we get together to talk about surfboards, and so now we're talking about surfboards in my garage, and we can really talk. Okay? Like I would say when it comes to surfboards, we get very close to being captured by something that takes away from. So there we are. We are like, man, we like holding up his boards, looking at them, and he's telling me what he thinks I should be surfing, and you know, and this and that, and I even said, Andrew, we haven't got a lot of time left. We need to really get our act together, you know. So we. About surfing, because he's turning 50 on the 8th of November, so we're talking about age, and it's quite something to be 50. It's vulnerable if you're not there. And then suddenly, I don't know what happened, but like his eyes full up with tears, and now we're talking about the Lord, and he's talking about the fear of God. So all he's talking about, his eyes are full of tears, and he's the fear of God. And I'm going, oh man, is there anything that I need to bring into the light? And it's just one of those moments of the weight of God. And he said that what we got away with before, God's not letting us get away with. And he said that the church is being cleansed, and this is good, and it's the advancing of the gospel. And to come into the light is a beautiful, wonderful thing. To bring your life into the light is really, really valuable. So I want to encourage you, one of the ways we join with each other is let's share our hearts. Let's come into the light. Let's be together. Let's join. Let's follow. Let's advance. We need everyone on board. I'm going to encourage our comm leaders, gather your people. Next week, we are going to come with all of us. We are going to fill the front rows. We are going to reignite because we need to stay together. I wanted to speak about our why, but I'm not, because it's so important why we do it, what we do. But if we're not going to do it, who's going to do it? Really? The church across the world is under massive pressure. God is worthy of his praise and is worthy of a people that understand why we're here and what we do and know the pattern and live according to the pattern and give God everything that is worthy of receiving. And so we're going to call you into it. I think that's it for today. Let's stand together. Highness, I want to thank you for who you are. Thank you for where you've led us up to. And I want to encourage you, stand in the Lord. Stand in him. We're together in this. Your restoration is our win. And we're not going to leave you. We wants you to come through. You might be asking, well, how do we treat Hannes? You treat him like family. He's one of us. What will he be doing, Grant? Well, he's going to be helping us manage things. He's going to be helping us do things. Is he going to have oversight over you? For now, not. But he'll be phoning people. He'll be phoning you. He'll be asking one of the deacons, can this be done? And mostly under David's instruction, I think we need David to really lift the bar and to give us his best. I am in business, by the way. That doesn't mean I'm not available to you, but most of the team, we work. And but our work is not in competition with God. Our lives are underneath him, and we are the church. So let's embrace the season. Let's embrace Hannes and Mariska. And I'm very thankful. And I want to say to you, my brother, that this season is going to make you in God be rich and prosperous. And we look forward to what God does in you. And I'm pleading with you, encouraging you, be an example in this time. Go for it, all the way. Let's give a hand for Hannes. So love on him. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you, just the beauty of who you are in your church. And Lord, we love being the people that you've called out of darkness into light to offer praises to you, which, Lord, are your Bible says it's a fragrant offering. It's pleasing to you. And Lord, what a privilege for us to have worshiped you today. Lord, I want to thank you for all those that came early, who prayed, set up equipment. I want to just say to you, your contribution is noticed. Those who set up all the stuff in the back, Lord, I want to thank you for them. And Lord, we ask that there be such a joining and a strengthening and a moving forward and a following that all of us, Lord, would know your pleasure. And the church says, amen. Amen.